In the previous session, we looked at changes in profit-sharing ratios which were not preceded by revaluations of assets in the partnership accounts. You'll recall that in this situation, the disposal by the partner or partners whose shares decrease take place at no gain, no loss. In this session, we shall look at how to calculate capital gains where assets are revalued in the partnership accounts and subsequent to the revaluation, there is a change in capital sharing ratios. Firstly, let us consider what we mean by a revaluation by looking at an example. Bob and Mike carry on business in partnership and share capital profits and losses equally. The partnership owns a building which cost £100,000. The building is now worth £400,000, and the partners decide for commercial reasons to reflect the building in the accounts at the current value of £400,000. The building will be included in the balance sheet at £400,000. The surplus on the revaluation, i.e. £400,000 less £100,000 being £300,000, will be credited to the partners' capital accounts, with a 50% share credited to Bob and a 50% share credited to Mike. Where there is a change in the partnership sharing ratio after a revaluation, the disposal is not a no-gain, no-loss disposal. Instead, a chargeable gain, or allowable loss, will accrue to the partner or partners whose shares decrease as a result of the change in sharing ratios. These rules are dealt with in paragraph 5 of Statement of Practice D12. It's important to appreciate that the revaluation itself has no tax effect. No capital gains calculations are required when the revaluation takes place because no disposal has occurred. It is a subsequent change in the partnership sharing ratio that gives rise to an acquisition and disposal. Before we look at the tax implications of revaluation, it's worth spending a few moments exploring the effect of a revaluation a little more. A revaluation may take place for commercial reasons. In addition, it may take place when a new partner joins an existing partnership. By way of an example, let us assume that we have two partners, Lisa and Marie, sharing income and capital profits equally. Their only partnership asset is goodwill, acquired on the 1st of January 2008 with a base cost of £40,000. On the 1st of January 2011, Nigel joined the partnership and was awarded a 20% interest in the partnership assets. Lisa and Marie's share in the partnership goodwill has fallen by 10% each. The goodwill was valued at £140,000 when Nigel joined the partnership, but was not revalued in the accounts. Assume that the partners sold the goodwill on the 31st of March 2012 for £200,000. Proceeds of sale will be divided among the partners in the ratio 40-40-20. From these proceeds, we must deduct the base cost of the goodwill. You'll recall that the base cost of the goodwill was £40,000. Lisa and Marie make a profit of £64,000 and Nigel makes a profit of £32,000. Nigel has therefore made a significant profit, even though he has only held an interest in the asset for just over a year. Lisa and Marie would probably want to ensure that Nigel was only entitled to 20% of the increase in value since he joined the partnership. This could be achieved by revaluing the goodwill in the accounts before Nigel was admitted. We will assume that revaluation takes place on the 31st of December 2010. Up to the 31st of December 2010, the goodwill increased in value by £100,000. And this increase will be credited to Lisa and Marie's respective capital accounts on revaluation. For the accountants among you, the double entry here is to increase the assets on the balance sheet by £100,000 to reflect the revised value of the goodwill, and to subsequently increase the liabilities of the partnership, that is, the partners' capital accounts, by the same amount. Lisa and Marie would make this adjustment purely to reflect the fact that their business had increased in value by £100,000 as a result of their own efforts, and they should therefore be allowed to take credit for their respective halves of this capital increase. The goodwill of the partnership increased by a further £60,000 between the 1st of January 2011 and the date of sale. As Lisa and Marie were entitled to 40% of the capital profit, the respective credits to their capital accounts would have been £24,000 each. Nigel's capital profit would be 20% of this subsequent increase,
being £12,000.
Statement of Practice D12, paragraph 5, deals with the capital gains tax implications where a partnership asset is revalued in the accounts and after the revaluation there is a change in the capital sharing ratios. It is important to be aware that the disposal arises at the date that the capital sharing ratios change and not at the date that the asset is revalued. A simple revaluation of a partnership asset within the accounts is not a disposal for capital gains tax purposes, as no capital asset has been disposed of. We need to consider the capital gains tax implications on the subsequent change in partnership sharing ratio. We apply the same rules that we looked at in the previous session. There will be a disposal for the partners or partner whose share is decreasing. The proceeds will be the relevant fraction of the current balance sheet value, but remember, this will be the revalued amount. The cost will be the relevant fraction of the original cost. Therefore, where there has been a revaluation, a chargeable gain or allowable loss will accrue on a change in partnership sharing ratio, as the proceeds figure will not be the same as the cost figure. So, after a revaluation, there will not be a no gain, no loss disposal.
Let us therefore revisit the example of Lisa, Marie and Nigel and apply the provisions of SPD 12, paragraph 5.
You will recall that Lisa and Marie were in partnership, sharing capital profits equally. The only asset of the partnership was the goodwill, which had a base cost of £40,000. On the 31st of December 2010, Lisa and Marie revalued the goodwill within the partnership accounts at £140,000 and duly took a credit of £50,000 each to their respective capital accounts. Nigel joined the partnership on the 1st of January 2011. With effect from the 1st of January 2011, Lisa and Marie are entitled to a 40% share of the profits and Nigel is entitled to a 20% share. The goodwill is sold for £200,000 on the 31st of March 2012. There are no capital gains tax consequences on the revaluation on the 31st of December 2010. As Lisa and Marie's entitlement decreases by 10% when Nigel joins the partnership, each of them are deemed to have disposed of a 10% interest in the partnership goodwill. However, because this was preceded by a revaluation of the partnership asset within the accounts, the disposal does not take place at no gain, no loss. The disposal takes place for a percentage of the current balance sheet value, being the revalued amount, giving both Lisa and Marie an actual capital gain. We shall look at how we calculate the capital gain on the next page. As Nigel's share in partnership assets goes up from 0% to 20%, he is deemed to have made an acquisition for CGT purposes, and the consideration he is deemed to have paid is equal to 20% of the current balance sheet value of the goodwill at the date of the change in ratios, i.e. 20% of the revalued amount. This value is £28,000. It makes sense that Lisa and Marie's proceeds of sale for CGT purposes in 2010-11 should be equal to Nigel's deemed acquisition cost. The next step is therefore to calculate Lisa and Marie's gain on the change in ratios on the 1st of January 2011. Lisa and Marie are each deemed to have disposed of a 10% interest in the partnership goodwill, a proportion of the revalued amount. The goodwill was valued at £140,000 at the date of revaluation, therefore a 10% share in the goodwill is valued at £14,000. The goodwill had a base cost of £40,000. Therefore, each of Lisa and Marie make a gain of £10,000. This is chargeable to tax in 2010-11.
For entrepreneurs' relief purposes, a disposal by a partner of an interest in the partnership's assets is treated as a disposal of the whole or part of the partnership's business. Therefore, Lisa and Marie could claim entrepreneurs' relief in respect of their gains if they wished.
Moving now to the sale of the goodwill on the 31st of March 2012.
The proceeds are split using the capital sharing ratios at the date of disposal, i.e. 40, 40, 20. For Lisa and Marie, the goodwill has a base cost of £16,000, giving them gains of £64,000. Nigel's base cost is £28,000, leaving him with a chargeable gain of £12,000. If we review this page for a moment, we'll see that Lisa and Marie have made chargeable gains of £64,000 each, whilst Nigel has a chargeable gain of £12,000. Let us now compare these chargeable gains with the partners' actual capital profits. The goodwill originally cost £40,000.
It was worth £140,000 on the 31st of December 2010 and £200,000 in March 2012. As we have already identified, the uplift in the value of the goodwill between January 2008 and the 31st of December 2010 was credited to Lisa and Marie's capital accounts. The uplift in value between January 2011 and the date of sale was split between the three partners in the ratio 40-40-20.
You'll see, therefore, that the actual profits made are £74,000 for Lisa and Marie and £12,000 for Nigel. These actual profits are now exactly equal to the partners' chargeable gains. You'll therefore see that the effect of paragraph 5 of the statement of practice is to make sure that the capital gains that are chargeable to tax are exactly equal to the actual profits which are allocated to the respective partners' capital accounts within the partnership. Finally, in this session, we will deal with the situation where there is a change in partnership sharing ratios and payments are thereafter made between partners outside the partnership accounts. This is dealt with by Statement of Practice D12, paragraph 6. This says that where there is a change of partnership sharing ratios and payments are made directly between two or more partners outside the framework of the partnership accounts, the payment represents consideration for the disposal of the partner's share in partnership assets in addition to any consideration calculated under paragraphs 4 and 5. This is best illustrated by an example. John and Paul are in partnership sharing profits equally. Their only asset is the business goodwill, which they purchased in April 1990 for £100,000.
On the 1st of September 2010, George was admitted to the partnership.
Profits were thereafter split 50-40-10 between John, Paul and George. No adjustment was made to the partnership accounts, although George made a direct payment of £35,000 to Paul for his share of the goodwill. We will outline the CGT implications of the above scenario.